Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Welcome to episode 92. It is such a privilege and honor for Erica, Angelina, and our beautiful Shanaz to be able to minister on air to all women that have access to Gospel for Grampian radio station that is stationed in the United Kingdom. So a very, very warm welcome to you all listeners from very cold, wintry South Africa. Our listeners today, I want our beautiful Shanaz and Erica to please greet you before we start this wonderful evening. Go for it, Shanaz.
Good day, Gospel for Grampian listeners. So excited to be with you today. Excited to share the gospel today, and also excited to speak about a beautiful topic. And so awesome to have our beautiful Angelina and Erica with us today. Truly excited. We had such an awesome time praying, so looking forward to what the Holy Spirit is going to be saying to us. Thank you.
I just feel an expectancy in the air, and I believe that our precious Gospel for Grampian listeners will also come into that realm as we start into this journey for this day, and we just expect God to move amongst all the listeners, and even amongst us, amongst Angelina and Shanaz and myself. And I just want to say thank you for your part in listening to the Word of God, and that you will be empowered, truly empowered, to experience His presence in your own lives. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Erica and Shanaz. You know, Gospel for Grampian listeners, before we start the topic, even though we are going to be talking about humility, I just want to bring something up, and which I'd love my opinion from my friends on. You know, I'm thinking, ladies, about Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel had an attitude where he wanted to understand the heart of matters. He wanted to understand prophecies and what the Lord was saying to him. And then in Daniel 10:12, the Word of God says, then the angel said to Daniel, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard and have come, and I have come because of your words." What was Daniel said to understand, Gospel for Grampian listeners? He wanted to understand what God was revealing to him. And because he wanted to understand and he submitted to the Lord, the angel in chapter 9 says the angel came to give him skill to understand. Imagine that, Shanaz and Erica. It says literally in chapter 9, verse 20 to 21. Now, while Daniel was speaking, praying, and confessing his sins and the sins of the people Israel, and presenting his supplication before the Lord his God for the holy mountain of God, while he was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom he had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached him about the time of the evening offering, and he informed Daniel and talked with Daniel. And he said to Daniel, this is what just stood out for me. He said to Daniel, "I have now come forth to give you skill to understand." Isn't that amazing, Shanaz and Erica, that when we have a heart like Daniel to understand the heart of God on things, to understand and humble ourselves and submit to the Lord and say, "Lord, give us wisdom to understand your will for our lives." He literally makes a way for us because we're choosing to humble ourselves and submit to him regarding his will and purposes for our lives. Isn't that amazing, Erica?
Yes, it is absolutely amazing. I believe that if you have an understanding of something, then you will walk in wisdom. And Daniel is really a very good book for me, and a man that one can truly study because of his life and what has happened in his life, and that he really and truly just gave himself to God and what God has done in and through his life. And if we can just ask the question, what does true humility look like in reality? A humble person is the opposite of arrogant or showy, and usually plays down triumphs or successes. This comes across as sweet, as courteous, as gentle, modest, or unassuming. A humble person can also mean someone who feels inferior to others who is apprehensive, bashful, hesitant, and self-conscious. How do we go about this, I would ask beautiful Shanaz and Angelina?
You know, I would, sorry, yes, go for it, Shanaz.
I wanted to say that I think, you know, when Daniel was seeking God's wisdom here, he did so through prayer. And I believe it, he did so through a long time in prayer, and therefore he was then answered through the angels. Isn't that amazing? It just shows how faithful Daniel was as well. And many a times we pray for things that will perhaps add to our wealth here on this earth. But here Daniel asked for something, he asked for wisdom. And so he only received that because he had such a fervency seeking God through prayer. And that's what I believe. He, you know, his faith was that God would answer him. God would speak to him. And he believed that the Lord was faithful. But because of his faithfulness through prayer, the Lord spoke to him and dealt with him. That's some of my thoughts this evening, beautiful Erica and Angelina.
Yes, you know, I love this Daniel story, because when you actually look at his life, he served three kings. And every time he served these kings, you always had people that came against him and tried to pull him down because they could see the glory of God in his life and they were jealous and envious. But because he lived a humble life in submission to the Lord and in the ways of the Lord, he was able to continue his journey. The Bible says that he was over 80 years old, over 70 or 80 years old, and he still served in the empire of Babylon under an ungodly leader. But because he had found favor in the Lord, he even found favor with those kings. And so I believe that humility to God is what gives us favor even amongst unrighteous leaders. The favor of the Lord surrounds us as with a shield because we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we know that for a fact, Erica, that Daniel and his three friends humbled themselves to the Lord, because whenever the kings would tell them to worship idolatry or not pray, they would not adhere to that because they had to submit to the laws of the kingdom of God. So while they were working in an ungodly kingdom, they submitted to the kingdom of God. And how many people do we know today in this time of lawlessness that will choose to submit to God and not to the world's way? Because really the secret of success is submitting to God, so much so that, like Shana says, the angel came to give him an answer on a matter. And the Bible says that angels hearken unto the word of God to give us help and to bring to us what God would want us to have. And I believe that the same God that helped Daniel in that time is waiting for us Gospel for Grampian listeners to humble ourselves and to be able to submit to him and to say, Lord, we need your help. Give us understanding of matters. If we have a dream and we're not sure if it was a dream from the Lord or from the devil, ask God, because that's what Daniel did. If we have a vision and we're not clear about the vision, ask God. He will bring confirmation. That is the loving God that we serve. He doesn't make it difficult for us to understand. I mean, we're talking here today, Gospel for Grampian listeners. God is not difficult to hear. It's not difficult hearing him, because the word of God says, my people hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So for us, it's that easy. It's all about believing that when we pray, we know that God hears us. It has to do with faith, that when I say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, I must believe that God is hearing me. Because Daniel believed God, therefore he got an answer. Hey, Shanaz?
Definitely, Angelina, and to your point that it's because of his humility that God lifted him up, even unto the king's day. James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And we also note in Daniel 9, Daniel's prayer was for the people. So again, he was also not seeking just for himself, but in humility, praying for the people. And so we can see that through his life of humility, meaning total surrender unto the Lord. He was not conscious and worried about seeking Abba Father for what he could get from the Lord, but praying for the people and humbly in supplication, surrendering unto the Lord, and whatever the Lord desired of him. You know, Daniel had his set time to sacrifice unto the Lord, and he was a very devotional Christian in that time. And when certain laws were made, he had humility to seek only the name of God. He submitted only to the name of God. When him and his friends had to bow down to the king and his desires, he submitted only unto God. So through humility is setting aside our own desires. It's nothing to do with what we can gain, but it's rather to make others feel better. And so we can see in the story here that he brought glory unto God through his life, him and his friends. He didn't bring glory unto himself. It had nothing to do with him. Cambridge says, it's the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others. And I think that's what the life of Daniel also demonstrated. He didn't pretend to be better than others. He didn't want to make himself seem more important than others as well. And it was that whole attitude of his that reflected this humility. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, beautiful Shanaz. Erica, a question for you, actually two questions. The first question is faith important in order for us to submit in terms of an attitude of humility? And the second question is, like Daniel then, do we need to behave like Daniel in this time that we are living in terms of lawlessness? How important it is for us to set boundaries in terms of worship, praying, and knowing the word of God so that we do not get polluted by the ways of this lawless world?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. Yes, absolutely. Faith is imperative, because if we look at Daniel, that he had faith. And having faith, you can understand humility, because humility meaning low or small. It means the quality of being free from pride and having a low, down-to-earth view of your own importance or significance. I mean, Daniel looked unto God. He didn't have pride in himself. He had faith because he knew that God would come through for him and his three friends. People who exhibit humility tend to view others as equals or superiors. So there is faith, knowing that if you are superior to me, your position is superior to mine. I respect that. I look up to you. And that is faith, having faith in our God, for he is the one that lifts us up in a position where we are. And the second question is that, recall it again, please, Angelina.
Is it important for us as Christians to set boundaries?
Yes, correct. Yes, I truly believe that, because God's word hasn't changed. It doesn't matter if the world changes, the things of the world change, but God's word never changes. With God's word, we have that strength and we have that possibility to stand firm in being humble, because Jesus came and he showed us humbleness. He was humble in all his ways, and because he was humble, he exerted authority, because it was a humbleness towards his Father. And it's not a humbleness that, a pious humbleness that so many of us here on this earth think, okay, I'm now, you know, humble and I'll just keep quiet, or I'll just be the lower one, or I'll just be the smaller one. It's got nothing to do with that. Humbleness is an absolute respect towards Father God, and it is also to have a knowledge of that without him we can't do anything, and therefore faith is so important to have it, because humbleness brings empathy to us. Humble individuals genuinely care about the feelings and experience of others. It makes us respectful, because they treat those that are humble treat those with courtesy and respect, regardless of their background or status. And once again, there it shows it's not who I am or what I have that makes me important. Humbleness, as I said, is what Jesus exerted while he was on this earth to show us, and that he had authority in that. And humbleness also brings about gratitude in our hearts. Humble people appreciate the blessings and opportunities in their lives and express thanks sincerely. So yes, I do believe that in this time that we're living, humility is important, but it's not a humility that I bring forth in my effort. It is my faith in my Lord and my trust in him, and knowing that his humbleness is in me. And as I look unto him and I wait on him, and his word becomes alive in me. Thank you, precious Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. You know, I'm thinking about Daniel. It might have looked that him and the Hebrew boys were weak when Daniel was put in the lion's den and his friends were put in the fire. But they were actually strong, because you had to have strength and bravery to go into the fire and to sit in that den. From the time that Nebuchadnezzar said to the three Hebrew boys, you're going to go into the fire, they had every opportunity to turn and say, no, forget it. I'm not going to go in the fire. I'm going to actually bow down quickly. But throughout, they kept their word. That you have to be strong to keep your word, walking towards that fire, entering into that fire and not turning back on your word. Because the world, the entire nations were bowing down before the statue in front of them. So they had time to change their mind. But humility brings out strength. That means humility is not a character, a human character. It's not a human quality. Because there's no way those three Hebrew boys could have that kind of strength in a human ability. Humility is a quality of Christ. It's the quality of God. Therefore, it is not weakness. You're quite right. It is not weakness. I mean, for an angel to come down and bring an answer to you, you have to be really, really humble and genuine humble for God to send Gabriel, the messenger angel, to come and talk to you, because you're really humbling yourself and saying, Lord, give me the skill to understand what you're trying to tell me. Open my eyes of understanding. And like, I love what Shanaz says, that humility is never selfish. It is selfless. So humility, we learn, is a strength. Secondly, it is selfless. And let's look at how Jesus demonstrated that, because that's what you brought out, right, Erica? In Philippians 2:5, it says, the humbled and exalted Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Humbling himself and coming in the likeness of people, men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has already highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, meaning in hell, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Glory to the God our Father. Now, bondservant there means doulos. It means a slave. Jesus came to be a slave. A bondservant, slave, doesn't have ownership rights. And we know Jesus didn't exercise these ownership rights. He left it in heaven and he had to humble himself and serve the Father. That is why when the devil tempted him, he had to say it is written, because he didn't come to do his own will. So if he had to be hungry, he had to be hungry. It was not his time to eat. When the devil offered him all the things in the world, he had to resist all of that, because he didn't come to be king when he came to serve on the earth. He came to be a servant, to be offered as a sacrifice on the cross. His kingship happens later, when even though he is king, he had to take off his king authority and submit to the authority of the Father when he came to be a bond servant. But you see that even in his servanthood, Shanaz, he was so strong that he could face the cross, because that was a difficult journey from the time that he was imprisoned and they put stripes on his body. He even battled to carry the cross because of the wounds that were opened. He was flesh. He felt the pain, the agony, and on top of it, he was taking on sin, and yet he's righteous. And look at the strength humility reflects to us when we look at what Jesus went through. Hey, Shanaz?
Definitely, and like you say, Angelina, even whilst he was on the cross, he demonstrated that humility when one of the men that was on the cross as well called out unto him. He displayed love and humility. He did not acknowledge his own pain. As you said, he was spat upon, he was beaten, he was bruised, but whilst he was on the cross, he demonstrated that ultimate self-sacrifice of still forgiving a sinner whilst on the cross. Isn't that so beautiful? So that is who Jesus was, pure humility. And we have to follow in his footsteps, because the word of God says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And like you said, Angelina, we need faith to please God. Just like Daniel, his faith came from the Lord, and his faith strengthened him. That's why he could face the lions. That's why he could face not bowing down to a foreign God. And in our walk in this day and age, there's so many challenges. Like Erica said, we cannot afford to sin. We cannot afford to go according to what the world tells us to do, because if we do so, that means we are rejecting Christ and his work. And that means we are saying that the cross is null and void. So in humility, we have to find our faith, our strength in Christ Jesus, because he demonstrated that ultimate self-sacrifice. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
You know, I'm going back to what Erica said last year. Erica, remember our conversation, dying to self. What a topic. And when I think about Jesus's humility, Shanaz, like you mentioned now, he literally died to himself, meaning when he came on the earth, he didn't embrace anything about himself. He took on a humble servant and died to his authority and his deity. And in that humble servant, he faced rejection, he faced mocking, he faced ridicule. His own disciples denied him. His own disciples betrayed him. His family didn't even believe he was God. They would tell him, go minister elsewhere. He got to Nazareth and the people in his hometown didn't even see him as God. They didn't even see him a prophet. And yet Jesus humbly continued his journey to the cross. How many of us allow our families, our friends, our communities to speak against us, and we let that statement or those rejections or abandonment to stop us from fulfilling our assignment? How many of us do that, Shanaz?
That's so true, Angelina. That means we're weak. Why? Because our faith has not grown in the Lord. It also means we're not strong in the Lord. We don't know what his word says about us. And we don't understand the power of the love of Jesus for our lives. And so we get conflicted when we are faced with these trials and tribulations. But Jesus, the ultimate self-sacrifice, teaches us, encourages us to become just like him. As you said, he gave up so that he had no reputation, so that we could follow in his footsteps. He demonstrated what it meant to lay down your life unto the Lord and dying to self. Dying to self is not always easy. It's not an easy journey. And we can only do that in our faith in Christ Jesus. So our strength can only be obtained in our walk with the Lord. Our strength can only be obtained in our faith in God's word for our lives. Being a servant means that you need to be humble. It, just like Christ, he did not build a beautiful mansion whilst he was on the earth. It was not about putting on the most beautiful clothes. Jesus was an ordinary man who demonstrated his humility. He did not even wear a crown on his head. I think of the rejection he went through just before he was crucified. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. He was rejected, as you said, despised, but yet he remained humble. And how many times don't we decide to take matters into our own hands because we feel rejected and we want to act out? That's us walking away from this beautiful plan of redemption that Christ has for us. So we need to remind ourselves of this beautiful plan of redemption. Why Christ died for us on the cross. And I think it's in our faith in Christ, in relationship, that we can find that strength to continue to be humble. I know it's difficult to forgive, especially when it's your family, when it's closest to you. Maybe it's easier to forgive a stranger, but when it's your family, it makes it more difficult to forgive. And forgiveness cannot be without being humble. So I think that's how beautiful Angelina and Erica, we spoke about forgiveness in one of our series recently as well. So now that we're speaking about humility, we see how that actually works hand in hand. Without forgiveness, you cannot remain humble. So that's so beautiful. Jesus also said in John chapter 13, verse 16, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." So Jesus also spoke about being a servant. He didn't only demonstrate this humility, but he actually spoke about it as well in parables when he was giving out teachings as well to his disciples. When he also washed the disciples' feet, he demonstrated his humility. And sometimes we think we have to demonstrate that we are in authority. But Christ didn't even do that. He simply just loved and was so humble. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
You know, Shanaz, I'm just thinking about something now, that humility means that we walk in divine authority, because that's what Jesus did. He says here in Luke 22:41, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone throw away." This was now when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He knelt down and he prayed and he said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Notice what he said. Not my will, not my decision, your decision be done. That means we walk in the authority of God. When we humble ourselves, it seems weak because we don't have our own right anymore on a thing, because we're dead to self. But what we don't understand is that in that humility, we actually have divine authority, because to be in authority, you need to be under authority. So when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then we are under his authority. That means we are operating from a sovereign authority standpoint, because it is God's authority that is operating through us, because we've just submitted to him. So how can humility be a weakness? Absolutely not. It is when we don't humble ourselves we are weak, because then we're operating in self-authority, in man authority. What are your thoughts on that, Erica?
Yes. You know, while I'm listening to you, Angelina, and beautiful Shanaz, and I'm actually wanting to say, I hope it is also the same effect on our precious listeners of Gospel for Grampian Radio, that thinking of what Christ has gone through, of how he has totally submitted himself to his Father, that he left his heavenly kingdom to come to earth, that everything that he's gone through, he humbled himself to be born, starting off as an infant, small and dependent on his earthly parents, and not even in a rich home, but in a poor environment. And what did he do? He came, and the biggest act of service, I believe, is when he showed his humility, when he washed the feet of his disciples. This action is actually often taken as a sign of servitude and humility, usually performed by a servant for their owner or their guests. Just think about it. Allow to meditate on this. And then it hits you like it just dawns on you. The authority, as you have said, precious Angelina, that he has been walking in because of being humble to his father, being humble to do the will of his father. And when he spoke, he truly spoke with the authority of his father that he had. It, to me, it feels sometimes as if it's too much to think of what Christ our Lord has gone through and what he's done for us. Because of him doing that for us, he made us able to become humble. He made us able to have that authority in us and use that authority the way he used it. And that makes us, it brings me more to that point where I just want to bow before him and honor him and worship him and give him all the glory for what he has done, because he has done it willingly. He has done it willingly, as you said, precious Angelina, when he asked the Father, please, if this could, could just come, you know, I mean, how did he say it again?
If this bitter cup.
Yeah, if this cup could just pass me by. And the Father said, no. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. And it just brings me really to a point of humbleness before our Father and having a total revelation of how dependent we are on him alone. Because out of our own, we cannot do, then we are weak. Then we are truly weak. And I just stand in awe of a great Lord Jesus that has given himself and that has willingly taken up all on him so that we could walk in victory. Thank you, precious Angelina.
And I love what, you know, we're saying here, that in his humility, when he had humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, God actually put him to the highest place. When he got resurrected, he was placed on the highest position. All authority on heaven and earth was given over to Jesus Christ just because he humbled himself. So humility is not a weakness, it is a strength. I want to go back to this authority thing again, because Gospel for Grampian listeners, there are many women that are taking on leadership positions, and we need to understand that leadership positions in the kingdom of God is as effective when we humble ourselves. So the kingdom of God doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor in a church. The kingdom of God means that when you are born again, you no longer walk this life through a earthly kingdom. While you're on the earth, you are not off the earth. So you walk and you live your life from a spiritual kingdom, and that's the kingdom we are talking about. And God has raised up women leaders, and we need to understand that we can't operate like the world leadership in order to be effective. We can't be, like Erica said, conceited, prideful, egoistical, etc. We need to be humble, and that humility in Christ Jesus is what gives us authority. And I want to use the life of Moses as an example to talk about the authority when you are in Christ Jesus and the authority when you are in the world's way of submitting to the world system. Before Moses had gone over to the wilderness, he was a son in Pharaoh's house. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was a son in the house. He had kingship, hey Shanaz? He had a princess role. He had authority. He had prestige. He was respected and honored by people there. But when he went to go talk to the Israelites, they didn't even want to recognize him. He didn't even, the spiritual kingdom could not even discern his authority. The world system discerned his authority, but the kingdom of God people could not discern authority in him because he was working in the world system, right? They didn't want to listen to him. Then when he went into the wilderness and he lost prestige, he lost prominency, he lost that palace life, and he became a humble shepherd. When Jesus, when he encountered God at the burning bush, what happened? Exodus 3:14 says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Now, what was interesting here was Moses was being sent by God's authority. And what happened? When he went, not only did Israel submit, eventually Pharaoh submitted. That's what happens when you walk in the authority of God. When you walk in humility and submission to God, his authority makes the pharaohs of this world and the Christian nation to actually submit to you because they see the mantle of authority you carry when you submit to God. Because it says in Numbers 12:3, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. Imagine that, Shanaz. The man had ran away because two of the Israelites didn't respect and remember him, and he killed somebody and they witnessed it. So he ran away afraid of Pharaoh and the men, and ashamed now because his own people couldn't even recognize him. Then when he becomes humble, having no title, having no position, having no palace, suddenly humbly submitting to the Father, the authority and mantle he carried gave him the grace to take Israel out of a powerful nation into the wilderness. And with that, they took a lot of wealth. That's what happens when we humble ourselves, Gospel for Grampian listeners, under the mighty hand of God. It is his authority that will command people to submit to us when God tells us to do a thing. So it is a strength for us to submit if we want to be effective leaders. What are your thoughts on that, Shanaz?
Absolutely. I think Moses also demonstrated his faith in the Lord, and that caused him to become humble, because whilst he was away from the Lord and being on this journey to find himself, he actually met with God in that burning bush. He stood before the burning bush the first time, having such a beautiful encounter with God. And he just went, he was obedient. And in his obedience, his faith started growing. He wasn't sure, but he acted on what God told him to do. And I think he displayed his humility in that he also said to his brother Aaron that Aaron needs to speak because he's stuttering, even though God called Moses to be the priest for the nation of Israel. But he went in obedience through his faith in God. It's such a beautiful story if you think about it, because here is a man who lost his identity and now meets with God in this burning bush for the first time, and he just acts obedience. Out of obedience he goes forth, and he meets up with his brother Aaron, and Aaron speaks on his behalf. But it shows his humility. He recognizes that in his faith in God, he just needed to do and submit what God asked him to do. And sometimes that's what we require as believers in our journey with God as well. We just have to act in our faith in what God wants us to do in humility. I think sometimes we first want to see the full picture before we are obedient to God, and that causes us to become disobedient. And perhaps because when you have pride, it means pride, you're thinking too much about yourself. So it's the opposite of humility. And therefore we find it difficult to submit to God because we think too much about ourselves, too highly of ourselves. It's like if God says you must go bless somebody now, And we think, how foolish will that be, God? Because we're thinking too highly of ourselves. But humility says, okay, Lord, you sent me, I will do as you desire. And I think that's what Moses also demonstrates for us as well, Angelina. It's that act of faith and humility. And I think sometimes, because we think too highly of ourselves, we think we're going to be embarrassed, and so we don't listen to what God instructs us, and therefore we don't follow His word as well. And I think we just overthink it. So we must allow the Lord to deal with our hearts. When we think too highly of ourselves, we just have to act in faith and in humility unto God. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz. You know, Gospel for Grampian listeners, I'm thinking about the definition of humility, right? It says here, down to earth. Like our beautiful Erica had said, that Jesus literally bowed down and washed the feet of the disciples. That when you humble yourself, you don't look at rank. You only know the only rank is God. You are not rank. God is rank. And you have to have a posture of submission, because humility is down to earth, submissiveness. I love this one, Erica, compliance. Compliance, just like what Shanaz said, obedience to God and His instructions and submitting. So humility is really compliance to God. I don't know why people don't like that word humility. It is complying to God, and that is the best thing, because, I mean, we think about Moses, we think about David, we think about Jesus, all complied to God, all submitted to God, all obeyed God in humility, including Daniel, and they did great exploits. Daniel 11:32 says, those who know their God will do great exploits. Exploits comes with exactly what we are saying today, Gospel for Grampian listeners. We have to submit to God. We have to obey God. We have to comply to the standards of God's word. We can't live like the world and submit to God. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys teaches us how to submit to the standards of God's ways. In the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they did great things. They did great things. The church expanded and the people grew in the church. Why? Because they submitted to the Lord. So another part of humility is the fear of the Lord. And Jesus showed us that fear, right, Erica? When He did all those great miracles, but then when it came to the time that He had to now die on the cross, before He did that, He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He submitted to the Father and He said, Father, let not my will be done, but yours. Even though I don't want to do it, I'm going to submit to you, because it's not about me. It's about your will on the earth. It's about edifying every other human being that I came here to edify. That is what humility is. He went on the cross and edified everybody else. And one of you just said it earlier on, that when we humble ourselves, we lift up others more highly than ourselves. Jesus was such an amazing demonstration of that on the cross of Calvary. He didn't deserve to be on that cross, but He went there and He said, I'm going to be taken down so that you can be lifted up, so that humanity can be lifted up. It is selfless. Humility is selflessness. It's where you lift other people up, whether they deserve it or not. They haven't earned it. They don't deserve it. But you're going to do it because that's the right thing to do. And we speak about it in Daniel, like Shanaz says. Daniel, when he prayed, he didn't pray just for himself. He prayed for the entire nation. He inquired about what's going to happen to the people. It was never about him. I mean, think about it, Shanaz. He had such a good position in government. He had a good position. He found favor with the kings, but yet he had the interest of the nation of Israel more than himself. Because everywhere you read, it's about what's going to happen to the people. Are they going to go back home? Lord, what is going to happen to them? And look what happened in submitting himself to edify them and to find out if there is going to be restitution for them. God lifted him up. So humility actually is one of the biggest qualities of being an effective leader in society. What are your thoughts on that, Erica?
Yes, I just want to go back what you have now said. Christ gave himself for us, and that is true humility, because true humility seeks to bring glory and honor to God and looks out for the interests of others. Christ gives us a perfect example of humility. He went to the cross and gave up his life so that others might live. Then I just want to go back to Moses. Moses, the chosen leader to liberate the Israelites, was renowned for his exceptional humility. Despite his pivotal role, Moses displayed a remarkable sense of meekness, as seen when he questions his own abilities and interceded for the rebellious Israelites. His courage shone through during the confrontations with Pharaoh, the miracles in Egypt, and the parting of the Red Sea. And just listen to what it says here in Numbers 12, verse 14. Verse 7. God, this is what God said. He said, "Hear now my words," and this is what the Lord says. "If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream." Now listen to what he says here. He says, "Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face." And that really made me stop there, that God speaks to prophets and makes himself known in a vision. But with Moses, he spoke to him face to face. Why? Because Moses really had true humility. He never thought himself higher and more important than others, even though he had this huge mission that he got from the Lord. But he displayed a remarkable sense of meekness. And that really touched my heart. And I truly trust that our listeners will hear that the Lord is really intentional with each one of us, and that he's asking our willingness to humble ourselves and to know that he is the one that will raise us up, that will lift us up, and that he will speak to us face to face. Thank you, precious Angelina.
Thank you. Thank you. Shanaz, do you want to add anything before we speak about Nineveh?
Yes, thank you, beautiful Angelina. I also just want to bring us the scripture, Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself." And I think when we look at the life of Jesus, we can truly see that this is how he demonstrated his life whilst he was on the earth. He became lowly. He didn't esteem himself higher than anybody else. Through humility, he demonstrated, because he considered himself lower than all other men. And he, from a position perspective, made himself of no reputation, and he had no self-ambition, and he was not conceited. And this is what the Lord desires of us, to demonstrate one to another. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Yes, I love what you're saying, Shanaz and Erica. And for our Gospel for Grampian listeners there, you know, we put in our group chat amongst our friends, we make it clear that God gets the glory on everything we do. Because Jesus taught us that so beautifully when he said, "I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say." You see that in the Trinity. Even when the Holy Spirit came to live with us, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what I tell him to reveal to you." So even there, the Holy Spirit doesn't ever glorify himself. The Trinity, each of the Trinity, never glorify themselves. They lift up each other, but not themselves. That's how they honor each other. And Jesus teaches us that we cannot honor ourselves. We're not allowed to honor ourselves, because when we do that, pride comes in the way. And so what we do, Gospel for Grampian listeners, our friends, we warn each other, please let God get the glory. And if we are ever going to go into a pride moment, please correct us, because we know that if we are in pride, we are opening ourselves up for rebellion and for the enemy to come in to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. So humility is such an important quality for us to protect ourselves, to put that hedge of protection around us so that the enemy can't enter in. So we must never make life about ourselves. Please, Gospel for Grampian listeners, I'm encouraging you today, whether you stand on the pulpit, whether you You stand amongst masses, whether you are popular or around the world. Don't make it about yourself, because Jesus taught us that we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and He will lift us up. We are no longer ourselves. We belong to Jesus. In Christ we live, move, and have our being. So everything we say, it must be for the glory of God. And for you to do that, you need to be like Moses, or you need to be like Jesus, or you need to be like Daniel, where your concern is about the people, where your concern is about to honor God, where you don't make it about yourself. It's not, you cannot boast and say you love the Lord, because then you're not going to see the signs, miracles, and wonders. You can't boast in your strength and expect the authority and the mantle of God's power to flow through you to touch lives. You have to submit to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, so that His power and His authority will work in and through you to help the people that you are crying out to God to help. Please, I encourage you today, Erica, as a prophet, minister to our Gospel for Grampian people out there, that pride and boastfulness and selfishness is not a quality that will help them succeed in humbling themselves. And if they don't humble themselves, then they can't be lifted up. The Bible says that the humble will be honored. You can't expect honor from God and from people the way God wants, has prepared it for you, if you do not humble yourself to the Lord.
Humility is the willingness to admit and confess sin. In Proverbs 12:23, we read, "The wise don't make a show of their knowledge, but fools broadcast their foolishness." Humility is refraining from proving what you know, how good you are at something, or that you are always right. I can talk about that. In my earlier years, before Christ, I had a personality that I was always right. I thought I was humble, but it was pious humbleness. And God showed me the right way. He showed me the truth. And I know that when you are willing to admit and confess sin, it brings you to a low state, that you can become humble and know that Christ is the one that rules and reigns in you. And when you are willing, remember, God gave us a choice to choose life or to choose death. So let us choose life, and let us lower ourselves, become humble, and become willing to admit and confess when there's sin in your life. Then God will raise you up. He will come, and He will be glorified in and through you. Gospel for Grampian listeners, precious Angelina and Shanaz, let us be like Jesus. Only speak when you hear what the Lord is saying to us. Only act when He shows us what to do. And to be humble, walk humbly before Him, and know that His ways are always the best way to follow. Thank you, precious Angelina.
You know, Erica, what I love what you're saying is that we all go through that experience of where we be prideful and egoistical. But when we humble ourselves unto God, His grace and mercy forgives us and restores us. And that is exactly what happened in the account of Nineveh. God had sent Nahum and Jonah to go and judge them because they had done wickedness against God. They had committed idolatry. They had committed robbery. They had committed killing. It was really, really, really bad things that they did. And so when God had sent Jonah to Nineveh, there was a national humility orchestrated by the king. Imagine that. These people that were wicked. I was once a very bad, bad, prideful, egoistical person. Terrible. So bad, Shanaz, that my sister-in-law said to me that they were so scared to talk to me because I acted like I knew it all. That's how prideful I was. And then when I humbled myself like Nineveh, when Jonah went to Nineveh, the king, even the animals went on a fast. They all humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. God's mercy came upon them and withdrew his judgment because he saw that they had repented. So God is looking for those who will repent from their wicked ways, humble themselves and seek. So if you are listening today and you are prideful and egoistical, I want to tell you there's hope for you because God's grace and mercy is so abundant that he's waiting for you to humble yourself and turn from your wicked ways, and he can be merciful to you like he was with Nineveh. But you know what's the exciting thing here, beautiful Shanaz? When they humbled themselves, God lifted them up. Let me show you how he lifted Queen Sheba and how he lifted the Nineveh people up. When Jesus was talking in the account of Matthew, he was telling the Jews that Nineveh had humbled themselves and repented, right? He says here in Matthew 12:41, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. So what he's saying, when Jonah had ministered, the Nineveh people had humbled themselves, but here Jesus has come and the Jewish nation doesn't want to repent. And he's saying here that Nineveh will rise to judge these people. Even with Queen Sheba, look how God lifts her up and honors her. Because when she goes to visit Solomon, she says to Solomon that, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and I saw with my own eyes, and indeed half the greatness of your wisdom was not told. You exceed the fame of which I heard." And then she goes further and she gives honor to his God. She says, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on this throne to be the king for the Lord your God, because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore, he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness." Now, how's this? Both Nineveh and this beautiful Queen Sheba chooses to honor God. And God, then Jesus says that these people, sheep, Queen Sheba and Nineveh, will rise up and judge those that dishonor God. Can you see what humility does? When we honor God, we get a position of authority. We get a position of authority. So, Shanaz, as we close, we've got a minute left. Please encourage our listeners to understand the importance of humility when it comes to elevation.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. To our Gospel for Grampian listeners, the Word of God also tells us that pride comes before a fall. So I want to encourage you today. Turn your heart unto the Lord. Allow humility to be your desire. Let humility clothe yourself today. The Word of God in Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, do yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." We have to clothe ourselves with humility. It is part of the character of the new man. We have to clothe ourselves with humility because we know that Christ was the one who demonstrated humility, that taught in parables to the disciples what it means to be humble. He demonstrated it by washing the feet of his disciples. And so it pleases God when we are humble. We have to, in honor to the Lord, be obedient, clothe ourselves with humility, and esteem one another higher than ourselves, so that we can be pleasing unto the Lord. We pray that the Lord will bless you, that you will be encouraged to be obedient unto Abba Father, that you will be humble, and that you will esteem one another higher than yourselves. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Thank you so much, beautiful Angelina and beautiful Erica. The Lord bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.